You are watching Tomoko Music Channel. Thank you for subscribing and sharing.
Colm Gavin is a Dublin-based Irish singer-songwriter currently signed to BEO Records, home to the First Lady of Celtic Music, Moya Brennan. Colm's first two solo releases, Your Endless Slumber, A Voice for the Urban Darlings, both reached number one in the Irish charts, and his most recent EP release, the 1992 tapes, reached number one in the Irish singer-songwriter charts, number four in the pop charts, number 56 in the Billboard 100 in the United States, and number 81 in the Italian pop charts. Currently, he's collaborating with one of Ireland's most notable songwriters, Charlie McGettigan. Recently, Colm also gave his inaugural New York City performance in the legendary Birdland Jazz Club. So, ladies and gents, please welcome Colm Gavin.
So, what's it like there in the music scene?
The music scene is interesting, and I've heard it compared regularly to places like Nashville because there's a great spirit of collaboration. And Dublin, I live in Dublin in Ireland. But like many different parts of Ireland, like Cork has a thriving music scene, Belfast, Donegal, Galway, there's lots of different pockets in Ireland that have very communal oriented music scenes. So collaboration, the spirit of collaboration is right the way through the country. And I think that's a lovely thing. It really adds to the sense of community and kinship amongst musicians. It's the scattered tribe, the scattered diaspora, as I call it, and it's something that kind of brings us all together. It's nice because within the music industry, as opposed to the music scene, there's a huge amount of competition, naturally, because you're always competing with the next person and the next person for the, whether it's the TV spot or the radio slot or whatever it might be. But outside of the industry aspect of things, there's a really nice communal togetherness, I suppose is the best way to put it.
That's great. Is that how you grew up? You're a great storyteller and your voice cuts through too. So you kind of remind me a little bit of Billy Joel, but Irish version to me.
Thanks very much. Oh, I love Billy. I love Billy's work. And I guess that style of a New York songwriter, that sort of piano driven. Certainly when I was growing up, the music of Billy Joel, of Randy Newman, and
I knew it.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And then like as I got a little bit older, people like Jim Croce and Dan Fogelberg, all those great songwriters of the early 70s and late 70s, they would have been worked, there's no doubt.
I'd like to ask you, Colin, could you pick one of your songs and break it down how you wrote it, behind the scene and everything?
Sure. A really good example of a song of mine that was influenced by some of the artists we talked about is a song called Song for Sam. I actually have my guitar here so I can show you bit by bit how the song was written. So this will give you kind of a colourful idea. So I mentioned people like Randy Newman, Harry Nilsson, Billy Joel, and I love that kind of ragtime blues influence with regards to contemporary songwriting. So for example, rather than if you take a straight chord progression like a 1-6-4-5, which would be like there's nothing wrong with that, that's fine. But then if you put a little twist on it, like I just love those kind of bluesy seven, dominant seven flavors in chords. So the song that I mentioned, Song for Sam, was initially written for My God Slam. But nowadays when I play it, or recently when I play it, there's a very inspiring young man, Jacob Perkins, who's suffering with a very serious illness at the moment, but he's battling and he's doing well, and he's a great inspiration to a lot of us. And there are lines in the song, so I'll give you an idea of the opening line. This is like a message to a younger person, giving them wisdom or life advice. Not that I would ever claim to be any good at either of those two things. But the first line of the song is, "Little man, my wide-eyed boy, for you the whole world's new. Every day's a trip on the Ferris wheel or a picnic at the zoo. I don't know much of aeroplanes or the old man on the moon, but I can sing of all the things I've seen, and I wrote this just for you." So lines like that, or a sentiment like that, would be very similar to the kind of thing that Harry Chapin or Harry Nilsson would have written. Simple, with a very direct lyric, a very obvious pointed lyric, and not that all my lyrics are obvious, but in this instance, it's just a message to a young person Just to, and there's lots of little kitsch phrases like "be sure to eat your greens" and "no a thank you from a please" and stuff like that. And I think it's always easier to write a song when you know which way your arrow is pointed. So if it's like a mess like this, a message to a younger person, you think, okay, well, what would I include in that message? What do I want to say? What is it that I want to get across? And then just go bit by bit. And if it's, then it's kind of like fill in the blanks. Where's your verse? Where's your chorus? Where's your middle eight? Where's your coda, end section, and all that kind of stuff. So hope that's not too boring, but that's just to give you an insight in how that was written.
No, that sounds amazing. You have a godson?
A godson, yeah, but not an actual son. So he's my auntie's son. His name is Sam, yeah.
Okay, so I'm waiting for the rest of the song.
Okay. Well, so that's the first section. So then you got, be sure to eat your greens and know a thank you from a please. That laughter can cure a winter's cold and money never grows on trees. Each morning, go and chase the dreams you dream of every night. And no matter what you do, you'll find your mother's always right. And like the cheerful old folks say, count your blessings every day. Be kind to those that need it most, and that means everyone. Be sure to look before you leap in case your shoelace is undone. I hope you make the kind of friends that make the days go by so fast. And when the time comes, find the perfect words to ask your first true love to dance. And as the winter people say, have a jolly holiday. Whether it's Kwanzaa or Christmas or the first day at the Kentucky Derby. I was never all that good in school, but one thing I know is true. No matter how many big books I read, I'll never be as smart as you. I can hold you now, but not for long, 'cause the years go by so soon. No matter what you might grow up to be, I'll always be so proud of you. There you go, song for song.
Thank you. Your story is very personal, and I think you could cross over to like American country music too.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of that in it. And I think more often than not, with songs like that, particularly my music, it's compared to country music. And it's funny because on the new record, the 1992 tapes, there's a very heavy jazz influence. And I don't think those two worlds meet too often, but there's certainly like the whole zeitgeist of artists that I'm influenced by range from as disparate as country and Western music to the world of jazz, which I know you're very familiar with too, Tomoko. So I'm talking to the right person.
Yes, I love jazz. After you write these songs, how would you make production? Do you have a producer?
Yeah, I've worked with a number of different producers, and sometimes it just depends on what the song is or what the record is and the kind of treatment that it needs for that. So for example, with the 1992 tapes, I worked with Alan Thornton and Brian O'Dwyer, and those guys were just perfect for the kind of record that the 1992 tapes was, which was just a piano-driven, piano and vocal-focused record. And they're all kind of ballady songs. There's a little bit of swing and ragtime and that, but essentially they're singer-songwriter ballads. And both Alan and Brian are just experts when it comes to treatment for those kind of songs. So it was a no-brainer when it came to working with the both of those guys. And the result was just impeccable from a sound quality perspective. So I was really lucky that they were good enough to give me their time and their energy and their efforts. So it just depends. Like, it varies from record to record. My first album, A Voice for the Urban Darlings, was done with Adam Walsh. And like you mentioned, there's a heavy country influence on some of the tracks. There's a lot of rock and roll and blues. and ragtime, and Adam is great at doing all of those things. So I guess it just comes down to what the record and what the song's called for.
Mm. Do you have a freedom to decide your own producer, or the record company tells you what to do?
The record company, BO Records, that I'm with are very lenient when it comes to who I work with, right down to musicians, to producers, co-writers, whatever it is. They're very lenient. They're very easygoing. Tim Jarvis from BO Records, when I made my first album with BO Records, I approached him with that very question. I said, how much wiggle room do I have to make the record that I want? And he, as true as day, just said to me, you make the record and we'll put it out. He never got involved with the creative process. He never said, oh, this single and not this single. He would always lend a helpful word, but he would never interfere. He'd never say, no, you can't do this or you can't do that. I'm sure within reason. I mean, if it was a horrible record, I'm sure he'd intervene and say, okay, there's no single here or whatever. But BO Records have been hugely supportive of my work for the past 7 years or so. And that kind of nurturing, it's what I think every artist really needs, and they've been good enough to give me that. So I've nothing but good things to say about the gang at BO.
Wow. So right now you are working with Charlie McGettigan, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Can we get a little bit of a sneak preview?
Yeah, I'll play a little bit of something. Charlie and I have written, I'd say, about 60 songs together. And Charlie,
wow, 60?
60, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've written quite a few. And Charlie is a wonderful guy. Charlie is one of Ireland's best songwriters. And he's probably best known. He won the Eurovision in 1994 with Paul Harrington with a song called Rock and Roll Kids, which was written by Brendan Graham. But I'll give you a little flavor of something that we're doing. This is, I'll just give you a verse or so of this. This is a kind of a jaunty song. And it's called She Lives in a Peppermint House. Charlie's brilliant with imagery. And he's very witty too. And with this, we're both big Harry Nilsson fans. And so I wanted that kind of jaunty vibe, like something you could get in a cartoon. And this is called She Lives in a Peppermint House. My woman, she lives in a peppermint house. She got a cat, she got a dog, she got a gingerbread mouse. Her grandpa smokes a big chocolate cigar. Oh, but she loves to play ragtime music in her bubblegum car. They say she's crazy, they say she's mad, they say she's lazy, they say she's bad. She drinks tango juice in every bar. Oh, but she loves to play ragtime music in her bubblegum car. So that's a little flavor of that one.
I love it.
Thank you very much.
I love it. That sounds like a hit though.
Oh, thank you very much. We've got a couple of different songs that we're working on as singles. And that's one that I can imagine with quite a broad instrumentation. So
I would love to get it.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
You're welcome. So any advice to up and coming folk singer-songwriters?
I would say inspiration is great, but it isn't always there. You have to make the appointment with your work every day, whether it's 5 days a week. You have to treat it like a job. So when someone calls themselves a songwriter, you have to ask yourself, well, what gives me the right to call myself that? Because if you only write when you feel like it, then it's not your job. You can't give yourself that title, or you shouldn't. It's like, I like to make spaghetti, but I wouldn't call myself a chef. You know what I mean? So you have to know the difference between the two. And then also, you can't hit a target that you can't see. If you know what it is that you're going for, it's a hell of a lot easier than taking a few wrong turns and then finding in the 15 years pass and you didn't get what it was that you wanted. So if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. And you can't hit a target that you can't see. So try and be as focused and disciplined as possible. And at the same time, know what it is that you're going for. And then the road will reveal itself if you're doing all the right things.
That's right. I heard that when Babyface was coming out, he was making 20 songs a week or more.
Really? Wow, it's incredible.
Well, it was awesome talking to you, Colin. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you too. You too, Tomoko. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
And until we speak again, sayonara.
Thank you so much. Slán leat, as we'd say in Ireland. Take care.
Say it again.
Slán leat. That's goodbye in Ireland. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Colin.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to click subscribe and hit the bell to get notified about new videos of Songwriter's Room or my new music or Japan News series. Thank you for watching. Arigato. Sayonara.